अपत्यम् अभिकांक्षत आह तुष्टो दत्तो मयाहम् इति यद् भगवान् स दत्तः यत्पादपंकज परागपवित्रदेहा योगरिद्धिम् आपूर उभयिम् यदु हैहयाद्या अत्रेरपत्यमभिकांक्ष आहतु अत्रेरपत्यम् अभिकांक्ष आतुष्टो अत्रेरपत्यमभिकांक्षत आहतुष्टो दत्तो मयाहम् इति यद् भगवान् स दत्त यत्पादपंकज पराग पवित्र देहा योगरिदिम् आपुरुभयिम् यदुहैययाद्या अत्रेरपत्यमभिकांक्षत आहतुष्टो दत्तो मयाहमिति यद्भगवान् स दत्त यत्पादपंकज पराग पवित्र देहा योगरिदिम् आपुरुभयिम् यदुहैययाद्या अत्रेरपत्यमभिकांक्षत आहतुष्टो दत्तो मयाहमिति यद्भगवान् स दत्त यत्पादपंकज पराग पवित्र देहा योगरिदिम् आपुरुभयिम् यदुहैययाद्या माताजी
Thank you.
what word? Atreya. Of the sage Atri. Apatyam. Issue. Avikangshataha. Having prayed for. Ah. Said it. Tushtaha. Being satisfied. Dattaha. Given over. Maya. By me. Aham. Myself. Iti. Thus. Yat. Because. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Saha. He. Dattaha. Dattatre. Yatpada. One whose feet. Pankaja. Lotus. Paraga. Dust. Pavitra. Purified. Dehaha. Body. Yoga. Mystic. Ruddhim. Opulence. Apuha. Got. Ubhayim. For both the worlds. Yadu. The father of the Yadu dynasty. Haihayadya. And others like King Haihaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great sage Atri prayed for offspring, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son, Dattatriya, Datta, the son of Atri. And by the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus, Haihayas, etc. became so purified that they obtained both material and spiritual blessings. Purport. Transcendental relations between the personality of the Godhead and the living entities are eternally established in five different affectionate humors, which are known as Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. The sage Atri was related with the Lord in the affectionate Vatsali humor, and therefore as a result of his devotional perfection, he was inclined to have the personality of Godhead as his son. The Lord accepted his prayer, and he gave himself as a son of Atri. Such a relation of sonhood between the Lord and his pure devotees can be cited in many instances. And because the Lord is unlimited, he has an unlimited number of father devotees. Factually, the Lord is father of all living entities. But out of transcendental affection and love between the Lord and his devotees, the Lord takes more pleasure in becoming the son of a devotee than in becoming one's father. The father actually serves the son, whereas the son only demands all sorts of services from the father. Therefore, a pure devotee who is always inclined to serve the Lord wants him as a son and not as a father. The Lord also accepts such service from the devotee, and thus the devotee becomes more than the Lord. The impersonalist desire to become one with Supreme, but the devotee becomes more than the Lord, surpassing the desire of the greatest monist. Parents and other relatives of the Lord achieve all mystic opulences automatically because of the intimate relationship with the Lord. Such opulences include all details of material enjoyment, salvation and mystic powers. Therefore, the devotee of the Lord does not seek them separately, wasting his valuable time in life. The valuable time of one's life must therefore be fully engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Then other desirable achievements are automatically gained. But even after obtaining such achievements, one should be on guard against the pitfall of offences at the feet of the devotees. The vivid example is Haihaya, who achieved all such perfection in devotional service, but because of his offence at the feet of a devotee, was killed by Lord Parashuram. The Lord became the son of the great sage Atri and became known as the Tatriya. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is the ongoing discussion happening in Srimad Bhagavatam with Canto 2, Chapter 7, today's verse is 4. Today is a very auspicious day, ongoing series. Yesterday we had Mahashivratri. In the Vaishnava calendar we continue to celebrate Mahashivratri even today. And therefore, Lord Shiva is adorning our altar even today also. And we are discussing Dattatreya, who is also Avadhut. And we are Lord Shiva, who is also an Avadhut. So, today's presentation, we will spend some time continuing our discussion of Lord Shiva, where Shivaram Prabhu yesterday left off. And then we will come to this verse and discuss on Dattatreya and also the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So, yesterday Shivaram Prabhu was mentioning very beautifully the meaning of Shiva Ratri. Ratri means night and Shiva is Lord Shiva. But Shiva also means auspicious. Why Shivaratri is very auspicious, as you mentioned yesterday, because that was a day when the Shiva Lingam appeared on this earth planet for everyone to be worshipped. It also happens to be a day when Lord Shiva married Parvati. Parvati was again born originally as Sati, then she, because of some reason with some intense issues with her father, she left her body and she was reborn as Parvati. So the marriage of Shiva and Parvati also took place on Shivaratri day. And Shivaratri is a day when Lord Shiva is very merciful. Just like when we have Nityananda Tridvaishi, Gaur Purnima, or we have Acharya's appearance days, we say today they are more merciful. They are always merciful, but they become more merciful. Right? So in Shivaratri, Shiva becomes more merciful. And therefore, people throng in large numbers to worship and take darshan of Lord Shiva because he is very merciful and he already is Ashutosh, right? But he becomes now more Ashutosh on that day. So that is the scenario behind this beautiful day, Shivaratri.
Shivratri or Lord Shiva plays a very major role in our Vaishnavism. We often see that Lord Shiva's pastimes are often interrelated with Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna's pastime. Even within the holy places where Lord Shiva resides or Lord Krishna or Lord Narayan resides, there is presence of both of them in their dhams. We have understanding of Vrindavan dham. It is the dham and abode of Lord Krishna. But within Vrindavan, then there is Lord Shiva also there, who is Kshetrapal, dham rakshak. So he plays a vital role in protecting the dham of Krishna. So take any dham of Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, you will find the presence of Lord Shiva there. We have here dham of Radha Gopinath. So Gopinath is there, and then there is Babulnath also here. Right? Even Radha Rasbihari also. Just in front of Radha Rasbihari is a beautiful temple of Lord Shiva. Mukteshwar Mahadev. So he is there. He is there before only. And then he arranged for Radha Rasbihari to descend there. So in this way you find that Lord Shiva has connection, very strong connection. Has to have connection because he is Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu. Just like all devotees want to stay very close to wherever temple is, right? They desire so. That let my house will be very close to temple so the morning I can go to Mangalarti, evening I could go to Gaurarti, and in between I can do my work. So why not? Lord Shiva is Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu, the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So he always seeks residence wherever Krishna's residence is there, wherever Lord Ram's residence is there. In the same manner, wherever Lord Shiva has his own dham, we find that Lord also, Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna, always perform his pastimes and he doubles the effect of that dham or makes it more prominent even amongst Vaishnavas to go and visit. Like we have Prabhas Kshetra, very prominent place, Somnath, the Lord of Somadev. So very prominent Jyotirlinga there. It's a very old ancient story of moon god appeasing Lord Shiva there, establishing this Swayambhu Linga. But Prabhas Kshetra became more prominent because Lord Krishna also came there to perform his pastimes. Lord Krishna's greatest mysterious pastimes was his disappearance pastime and annihilation of Yadu dynasty. It took place in Prabhas Kshetra next to Somnath. So connection of Krishna is there. We have connection of Lord Ram. Rameshwaram, that lingam was one of the main Jyotirlingas, was established by Lord Ram. Shiva's abode, but connected with Lord Ram. Then we have Jagannath Puri's connection with Bhubaneswar, right? In so many places we find the connectivity. When Lord Krishna's abode is there, Lord Shiva comes to Kshetrapal. When Lord Shiva's abode or dham is there, Krishna always comes there and performs his pastimes. So there is, in this way, a beautiful connection between the beautiful pastimes of both Lord Shiva and Lord Ram. Now, many times there is always a question which lingers in the mind of especially those who are non-believers or those who do not know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, about how that those who are against devotees or those who are against Lord Krishna or Lord Narayan, how come they are good devotees of Lord Shiva? So how do you understand this? So I was referring to an article of Gaur Govind Maharaj, and he was mentioning that he was quoting this particular instance with the idea of Balramji giving mercy to Duryodhan. And he also mentions Lord Shiva also gives mercy to many demons. And he was saying that Guru is always merciful, but Guru also reciprocates with the disciple's feelings, his bhav. How the disciple is approaching. If a disciple is approaching with kapat, with self, getting something for his own self, then what happens is the guru also doesn't reveal or give the mercy very pure. So there are two types of mercy, kripa. One is nishkapat kripa, another is sakapat or kapat kripa. So nishkapat kripa is mercy without cheating, and sakapat kripa is mercy with cheating. So in the case of Duryodhan, and Balaram giving mercy to Duryodhan, in the case of Lord Shiva giving mercy to Ravan and also to other demons like Banasura, The mercy was not pure. It was with kapat, with cheating. Why? Because they approached Lord Shiva for their own purposes. But Lord Shiva, because he is very merciful, he is also that Lord which takes care of all people in the mode of tamoguna, in ignorance. So he gave them mercy, but he also did not give them pure mercy. What is pure mercy? Nishkapat is that when someone approaches Lord Shiva for what is best he wants, what is the best as per Lord Shiva, then Lord Shiva gives the mercy of connecting him to higher realms of consciousness, connecting him to Krishna consciousness also. So one who is approaching Lord Shiva with kapat, Lord Shiva gives him wealth, fame, position. But one who approaches Lord Shiva with purity, then Lord Shiva gives him connection with purity, connection bhakti, connection with seva. So this is understanding between Lord Shiva's mercy on demons, whereas Lord Shiva's mercy on great devotees of Lord Krishna. So a lot of confusion in this way about Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna pastimes always are there. But when you see the whole Leela from the angle of philosophy, from Acharya's vision, then we can easily resolve the confusion. Like sometimes we see, in Vrindavan there is Gopeshwar Mahadev, right? And then we have in Rama Leela, Rameshwar Mahadev. So Gopeshwar Mahadev in Krishna Leela and Rameshwar Mahadev in Rama Leela. In Gopeshwar Mahadev's case, he is serving Krishna's Ras Leela. So he is subservient. In Rameshwar Mahadev's case, we see Lord Ram serving Lord Shiva. So there could be confusion, what's happening, who is serving whom? So, just like when Lord Ram was about to embark on building a bridge and going to Lanka to bring back Sita, Lord Ram decided to worship Lord Shiva to help him in this path. And therefore he requested Hanumanji to bring one Shivalingam. Cut the whole story short, Hanumanji came late bringing a Shivalingam from the Himalayas and Kailash. Meanwhile, because the time was passing, so Sita Devi, she made, Sita Devi arranged for Rama, a linga made from a sand. So the linga was made and Lord Ram, this was after actually, not before the war, but after the war. So Lord Ram immediately worshipped that linga which was made by Sita Devi. So Hanumanji came and he was little bit not very happy because he did seva, but the seva was not on time. So when he came back and he saw that lingam is already there, so Hanumanji's, Lord Ram understood Hanumanji's onset, so he said to Hanumanji that maybe you can do one thing, this is just made from some sand, you remove this Shivalingam and put your Shivalingam, we worship that again now. So Hanumanji tried to remove that Shivalingam, but it was very difficult for him, it was not easy, even though it was from a sand. And then Hanumanji realized that this Shivalinga is not ordinary, it is made by Sita, Mother Sita, so how can I remove? So then Lord said, Lord Ram told Hanumanji, you keep your Shivalingam next to Sita's lingam. So what will happen is, both of them will be worshipped. And he said that anyone who comes to worship this Shivalingam in future, will first worship and first come and take your darshan, your Shivalinga's darshan, and then go to worship this Shivalingam, Rameshwaram. And the Lord said, this Shivalingam will be called as Rameshwaram. That I worship my Lord, Rameshwaram. So everyone said Jai and everyone was very happy around that place. But demigods, they were confused. What is this? How can Lord Ram say that he is my Lord? So they were from the top of the horizon in the sky said, no, this is Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Ram. So down on the earth planet, on the earth realm, everyone saying that Lord Ram is devotee of Lord Shiva and Jai, and everyone saying on the top there that Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Ram. So what happened is, from the Shivalingam of Lord Shiva, Shiva appeared and said, I collect it. I am the devotee of Lord Ram. It is not Rameshwar, it is Ram who is my Ishwar. So in this way there is a lot of, and we need to have a lot of understanding between how Lord Shiva and how Lord Krishna relate to, or Lord Ram relate to. So there are different vicharas, there are different explanation, philosophy behind this tattva, It is said that there are different tattvas. Philosophy is very difficult to understand. Right? When we speak philosophy, people feel very bored. And many people go to sleep also in Bhagavatam class. But when you speak stories, people are very much awake. So philosophy tattva is a very difficult digest. It's very heavy prasad. But yet philosophy is essential to to make us understand what the pastime is. So in this case here, it is said there are three ways of understanding any truth. It's called vichara. One is tattva vichara. Second is aishwarya vichara. And third is madhurya vichara. So tattva vichara is seeing anything from philosophical angle. Aishwarya vichara is seeing it from the angle of aishwarya or opulence of the Lord. Third is madhurya. Madhurya doesn't mean the conjugal affair, but here in this case madhurya means seeing everything from the angle of Lord's pastime as a human being. When Lord comes in this world, He performs human-like pastimes. So it's called ordinary or madhurya or simplistic human pastimes. So from philosophical angle, it is very clear, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His first expansion is Balaram. From Balaram then Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva. And then another Chaturvyuha comes. And from that Chaturvyuha comes, Sankarshan is Sadashiva. And a fragmental portion of Sadashiva is Lord Shiva, who is in this material world, taking care of this whole material world. So this is Tattva Vichara. From Tattva we see that Krishna is the origin of all origins. When we consider Aishwarya Vichara, opulence, then we should know that Lord Shiva, understanding Krishna who is he always arranges his pastimes in such a way that in the end he worships Krishna. So there are many pastimes in this, in Puranas, in Bhagavad, you find that Lord Shiva arranges that ultimately takes resort of Lord Krishna or Lord Narayana. So that's Aishwarya Vichara. The third is Madhurya Vichara or sweetness or human-like pastimes. Lord Shiva does not disturb the pastimes of Lord Krishna or Lord Ram when they come like a human being. He agrees with that pastime and he moves in that way and accepts worship of the Lord, because Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, when they come in their incarnations, they behave in a way which is humanly as a part of the Leela. Let's take example of Madhurya. We find in Krishna Leela, when Krishna is born, Lord Shiva wants to see Krishna's beautiful form as a small child. We recently had in annual drama one beautiful drama where Lord came, Shiva came to get mercy of Lord Krishna. And then we see that how it was very difficult, not possible. And finally, when Yashoda was told that your son will be very much protected by the mercy of this Baba, this Lord Shiva. So she goes and takes the dust of Lord Shiva and puts on the head of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna becomes immediately smiles and laughs. So this is the Madhuri angle. The Lord Krishna does it and Lord Shiva allows it. But still within that realm, Lord Shiva arranges that he stays in Vrindavan and gets the Mahaprasad of Lord Krishna also. So that's the Madhuri aspect. The Rameshwar pastime also is a Madhuri aspect of understanding. Lord Shiva agrees to be worshipped by Lord Ram. But within his heart, he comes out of the lingam and says, no, actually Ram Ishwar means I am the, or Ram is my Ishwar. When you take the Aishwarya aspect, opulence aspect of the Lord, there are many instances in Bhagavatam and other Puranas where Lord Shiva agrees and in the end tells everyone that I am inferior or I am devotee of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna. And examples can be many. One of them is the example of Vrikasura. The demon Vrikasura was performing a lot of penance to please Lord Shiva and get benedictions. He was cutting his own flesh, putting in the fire. And then finally he decided to cut his own head and put in the yajna. And Lord Shiva was very disgusted. He came out and he said, what do you want? Please ask from me. And this person said, I want a benediction that anyone's head I touch with my hand, that person's head should break into thousands of pieces. So Lord Shiva is very simple, Ashutosh, okay, grant it to you. And immediately now Vrikasur, with so much power, this guy was really, this general power, when it comes, it takes time to go into the head. But from Vrikasur it was very fast. It was super fast. He just got the power and he went into the head and he decided to have Parvati as his wife and decided to kill Lord Shiva, who gave him benediction. So he ran after Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva ran and ran, and finally he said that how the Lord, in one particular version, he said Lord came as a brahmachari, Lord Narayan came as brahmachari, and he stopped Vrikasura and said, "Why are you running so much? I see that you are running after Lord Shiva, he is running, you are running. What is the purpose of your running?" "So I am running after him because I want to touch his head." "Hey, what? Why you want to touch his head?" "I want to touch his head so that he will be killed and I can enjoy Parvati." "But how can, but touching your hand to his head, he will be killed." Then he tells the whole story, "I got benediction that anyone's head I touch, that head will be broken into thousands of pieces." So Lord Narayan, being the Lord of illusory powers, Maya Devi, it's very sweet talking. He said, "Do you really believe in Lord Shiva?" Lord Shiva keeps running so much here and there. He doesn't know where he stays, where he, what he wears. He's a avadhut, you know. And you are running after him. Just imagine, after running for such a long distance, he stops and put your hand on your head and nothing happens. He will not feel any embarrassment. You will feel embarrassed. So better you test it first. So Vrikasura was convinced by Krishna's beautiful, sweet words. And said, "Yeah, just put your hand on your head, nothing will happen, see." And immediately put his hand on his head and his head broke into pieces. So this is the Aishwarya aspect where Lord Shiva ultimately proved that I require help of Lord Narayan. Another example is of Banasura. Banasura, great devotee of Lord Shiva. Such a great devotee that he, by his execution of his penance and tapasya pleasing Lord Shiva, invited Lord Shiva to come to his house and stay. So Banasura was such a person that in his kingdom, Lord Shiva would stay. Even today also, Banasura's kingdom is in Assam, and there is a beautiful, huge Shivalingam, which was originally worshipped by Banasura, very big. So that was Banasura's greatness in terms of appeasing Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva was there, and then we know that in Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Aniruddha and Usha. Usha fell in love with Aniruddha, and Aniruddha was captured by Banasura. And after that, there was a fight. And in that fight, Krishna's army came from Dwarka to fight with Banasura. So to help Banasura, Lord Shiva was fighting for Banasura. So now there was fighting of Banasura and Krishna's army, but also fighting of Krishna with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva used all his astras, weapons, against Lord Krishna. But none of them worked. Pashupati Astra didn't work. Shiva Jwar did not work. And finally, Narayan Jwar worked so much that Lord Shiva felt sleepy and he was tired and he went to sleep. Even Parvati too had to come in a form of a Devi and take the attention of Lord Krishna away. And finally, when Lord Krishna became very angry and started chopping off the hands of Banasura, Lord Shiva came running and told Lord Krishna, "Don't kill him, he is my devotee." So the whole pastime demonstrates how Lord Shiva is enacting a role in which ultimately he takes shelter of Lord Krishna. So there is Aishwarya aspect. And one more example is that of how during Lord Krishna's pastime there is this Paundraka who imitates Lord Krishna. He puts extra two hands and he sends a letter to Lord Krishna that, "I am the real Krishna. Yeah, and I have my Sudarshan Chakra, I have my Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. So you give up everything what you have on your hand." Lord Krishna writes, "Yes, yes, soon I will give all what I have on my hand on your head and kill you." And then what happens? Krishna kills Paundraka. And Paundraka was getting all his confidence because he was supported by the great king of Kashi, Kashi Raj. And then Kashi Raj had boasted that, "I will come, I am going for battle and I will throw the head of Krishna in the kingdom of Kashi. Just watch, wait and watch." So all the queens were waiting in Kashi and they found a head flowing and landing in the palace. And they were excited and they went and saw it was Kashi Raj's head, which Krishna had thrown from his Sudarshan Chakra. And then after that, Kashirath's son, he takes up the whole baton and he starts doing a yajna to destroy Dwarka. And then instead of Dwarka getting destroyed, Kashi gets destroyed. So the demon comes back to Kashi, destroys everyone there, kills everyone, and Sudarshan Chakra burns the whole city of Kashi. The Lord Shiva comes to Krishna and said, "My Krishna, my whole city is burned. Where will I stay? Give me a place." Krishna says, "Come to Ekamarvan, Bhubaneswar, that place. It's very close to my abode, Jagannath Puri. You stay there." So this pastime also depicts the idea of opulence. So this is the understanding, the vichar, the tattva vichar, the aishwarya vichar and madhurya vichar behind understanding of Lord Krishna's connection with Lord Shiva in the pastimes of both of them. So as I mentioned, in tattva, it's very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to digest. But especially there are some tattvas which are more difficult, more inconceivable. And among all the tattvas, Guru tattva is very inconceivable, Radha tattva is inconceivable, and also Shiva tattva is inconceivable. So tattva itself is very difficult to assimilate, but within those tattvas, some tattvas are really very inconceivable for us to understand. So, why this special, always we see this particular verse, we always say, Vaishnava nam yatha shambhu. Right? Whenever Lord Shiva, we remember Lord Shiva, we think of two verses, Shiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yogat or Vaishnava nam yatha shambhu. So, Sudhita Sadhanath Maharaj is mentioning a beautiful point in one of his lectures, Vaishnava nam yatha shambhu. Why? Lord himself says that Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, there are so many great devotees. Why Lord says that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees? And Radhanath Maharaj explains this point by saying that one of the main, very important quality of a Vaishnava is always selfless, in the mood of sacrifice, for arranging, uplifting of others. And this quality of Vaishnava stands very prominently in the life of Lord Shiva. That wherever there was a need to help, whether he had any agenda in that or not, he arranged, Lord Shiva was there to help. The famous example is of Samudra Manthan, where Lord Shiva was not at all involved in Samudra Manthan. There was Devas and Danavas doing the Samudra Manthan. And neither with Devas nor with Danavas, there was no Lord Shiva there. Lord Shiva was doing meditation. But Lord Shiva, when required, came to drink the halahal poison for uplifting of all people who were suffering there. So that is the example of having doing sacrifice just to please the Lord. And also, Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans, 12 Mahajans. So you find so many instances where Lord Shiva goes out of his way to help others. Even the department of ignorance in Lord's creation is a very difficult department to take. But Lord Shiva took the department of ignorance and he is overseeing or in charge of all the tamogunis, that means bhutas, pishachas. Can you imagine if you happen to be a preacher or a counselor, if you want some counselor, you would have to have good counselors, right? Bhutas and pishachas and hobgoblins, and they are your counselors. What will happen? You have tough time. They will give tough time to you, or you will be like very detached from them. Lord Shiva, he manages them so nicely that they are happy with Lord Shiva. And therefore Lord Shiva dresses also in a way that they will be able to appreciate him. So this is to the extent Lord Shiva stoops down to lift a conditioned soul. So this is the great connection of Krishna Leela and Lord Shiva's Leela. Giriraj Maharaj in one of his classes of Shivaratri mentions a very beautiful point of how to balance this whole thing in terms of when you preach to people who are either Lord Shiva devotee or who are not into the realm of Vaishnavism, who are commoners. So Giriraj Maharaj mentioned that once he had to go to Chennai, Madras that time, to preach and collect funds. So while collecting funds with many people who are very elite, people who are very rich, everyone is saying that you should go to Mr. Ramakrishna. He is a very rich man and is very pious. You like to meet him, he will help you. Like sometimes we go for preachings, everyone says, you should go to that person. So everyone is talking to Mr. Ramakrishna. So finally Giriraj Maharaj got a chance to get an appointment with Mr. Ramakrishna. And then he enters Ramakrishna's office And you see, the whole office is full of spiritual. There's incense and there's photos. And then he realized all the photos are Lord Shiva's photos. So then Ramakrishna is also very impressed that a sadhu has come who's a foreigner and he's come to take donations. He is coming from a rich background, but he left everything. So detachment, renunciation. So then there is a discussion, there is a talk. And because Mr. Ramakrishna is ardent Shiva devotee, so in between he says, all mercy of Lord Shiva, all mercy of Lord Shiva. So Giriraj Mahal, all mercy of Krishna, all mercy of Krishna. So in that whole thing, Ramakrishna was little bit not so much happy with hearing Krishna's name. Said, so, Lord Shiva is the ultimate truth. He is absolute. He is supreme. And Giriraj Maharaj said, yes, he is supreme in this material world, but ultimately in the whole cosmos, Krishna is supreme. So there was some discussion, and then Ramakrishna was a little bit agitated, so he said, no, Lord Shiva is supreme. And Giriraj Maharaj said, no, Krishna is supreme. So there was a little heated discussion between both of them, and finally it turned out a very hot discussion, and Giriraj Maharaj said, I have to go to some other place. We will meet some other time. He said, why you should come and meet me? You don't accept Lord Shiva. I will not give any money to you. So Giriraj Maharaj left that place and is thinking that that was not a good experience. Everyone was talking about meet Mr. Ramakrishna, but now the experience of Ramakrishna was not good. So Giriraj Maharaj goes on to meet other people. And everyone, not knowing that Giriraj Maharaj has already met Mr. Ramakrishna, they keep telling him, you should meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's a good person. He will give a lot of donations. So Giriraj Maharaj then, after meeting so many people, thinks that maybe I am meeting only once. Let me try once more to meet him. Maybe this time there will be different dialogue, you know. So then again Giriraj Maharaj goes to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. And Ramakrishna watches Giriraj Maharaj coming in. So Giriraj Maharaj changes his tone. So Ramakrishna also changes his tone. And then they sit down and they discuss everything else except Shiva and Krishna. But somehow or other, because both of them are such an ardent devotee of their own lords, the discussion has to come. So it came finally to Shiva is supreme or Krishna is supreme. And again the whole discussion was about to be heated up, then Giriraj Maharaj understood. Then he said, see, you are such a nice devotee of Lord Shiva. You should meet my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. He is such a wonderful Acharya. You should meet and you should ask all these questions. Don't ask me. I am just a new devotee. I am not even born in India. So all that little bit of Giriraj Maharaj kind of glorified him that he is born in India, very pious. You should talk to my spiritual master. Come and meet him. You will be able to discuss with him very nicely. So Mr. Ramakrishna becomes happy. He said, okay, I'll come to meet your Acharya. So Giriraj Maharaj arranges one interview or one appointment with Mr. Ramakrishna, with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada also came to Chennai, and that time Mr. Ramakrishna comes in to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Ramakrishna has come with all those questions, Lord Shiva, this and that. He's ready with all his emanations. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, who is supreme, Krishna or Lord Shiva is supreme? So Prabhupada immediately answers in a very beautiful way to make him understand. And he says, Srila Prabhupada says, there are two types of worship. One is puja, another is seva. So puja is inferior worship and seva is superior worship. So he becomes confused. What is this puja and seva? Can you elaborate on that? Puja means you go and ask some material things. I want this, I want that. So that asking of material thing is not the highest. You agree with that? Yes, I also agree. But you go and ask for bhakti. I want your service. That's more selfless. And therefore, this is superior. So now this point is now has entered into the mind and system of Ramakrishna. Then Prabhupada said, therefore, Shiva worship is inferior because people go to Lord Shiva for all material things, puja. But people come to Krishna for bhakti, seva. That is superior. So now Mr. Ramakrishna has no other point. He just cannot understand because he's from tattva proper. Mr. Ramakrishna, but what if someone worships Lord Shiva with bhakti and seva? That can also be possible. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's not possible. No, but I worship like this with bhakti and seva. That can be rare case, Srila Prabhupada said. Prabhupada gives a very, very cross example. Can someone go to liquor shop and not buy liquor? You go to liquor shop and someone asks you, yes, why you come for? I don't want liquor, give me something else. But this is liquor shop, why you come for something else? Go to some other shop. So similarly, people go to Lord Shiva for all these inferior purposes of puja. But rarely, Prabhupada said, people like you go to Lord Shiva for bhakti and seva. And then Lord Shiva sends them to superior place, that is, go to Krishna and do bhakti and seva. So Giridharaj Maharaj mentioned that such a controversial thing, but Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explained this in a way by which Mr. Ramakrishna, who was an ordained Lord Shiva devotee, could accept it. That yes, actually the highest worship is worship where there is only seva, where there is bhakti, and not an asking method, not for self purposes. So this is something about how Srila Prabhupada very beautifully balanced this whole conversation between Mr. Ramakrishna himself. So we're talking about Lord Shiva, who is an avadhuta, as we have mentioned in the beginning of the class. And here in this purport, here we see another avadhuta, that is Dattatreya Maharaj, Lord Dattatreya. So in this particular text which we are reading today, we find that Brahma is speaking to Narad Muni. This chapter of different incarnations, scheduled incarnations, is similar to the first and the third chapter, where Suta Goswami is narrating to series of Naimisharani about different incarnations, and finally concludes Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Similar chapter, but all incarnations are listed. So, for the previous canto, Suta Goswami was questioned about different incarnations, and in response that chapter was spoken. Here in this case, second canto has begun with Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry to Shukadeva Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj inquires, Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj the very questions you are asking, the same questions Narad Muni had asked Brahmaji. And therefore I am going to narrate all that conversation for you. So last three chapters are nothing but Brahmaji's conversation to Narad with Narad Muni, which is exactly the same question answered which Parikshit Maharaj asked. So in the same relationship we have here, this particular chapter where there is a connection of all incarnations in answer to Narad Muni's question to Brahmaji. And this fourth verse has connection of, has the explanation of Dattatreya, Lord Dattatreya. And Prabhupada very beautifully writes a purport here, and Prabhupada says here that Atri had prayed for a son, and therefore Lord came as Datta, Dattatreya. In fact, this verse has this, Datto Mayaham, Maya be mine, aham myself. So Atri wanted that, I want a son like you. And Lord said, there is no one like me, so Datto Mayaham, please take me, I as myself will come to you, Datto Mayaham. And then Datta became, and Datta and Atri became Dattatreya. This is how the name Dattatreya came. That is one explanation given here. Brahman Puran also mentions, while Atri was doing great penance to please and have as son the Supreme Lords, Anusuya also was performing penance, and she also wanted Lord as Supreme. So in Bhagavatam, we hear that Atri was not very clear whom should he call. So he just called the Lords. And what happened? When he called Lord, what happened? Immediately Lord Shiva came, Brahma came, and Lord Vishnu came. It's like sometimes you don't call someone proper name, Rudranath Prabhu. It's called Prabhu, then all Prabhus see you, right? Similarly, then he said Prabhu, those all three Prabhus came there. So since you called us, we will come as your son. So Soma came from Brahmaji, Durvasa came from Lord Shiva, and Dattatreya came from Lord Narayan. However, Anusuya Mata was very clear whom she was calling. So when she called for Lord Narayan, she said, I want son not like you, I want you as my son. And they said, don't worry, I'll come as your son, as Dattatreya. So this version is also given in the Shastras. Now, here Srila Prabhupada says that the devotee in Vatsalya Ras, he wants to be the father of the Lord. Why? Because Prabhupada says beautifully in the purport here that generally the son is always demanding from father and the father is always supplying the demands of son. So a devotee doesn't want to be son demanding from father who is Krishna. He feels, let me become father and my son will be Krishna, he will demand from me and I will supply him. So this is called the intricate understanding of vatsalya in simple words, which we understand from our own worldly relation. The son is demanding and father is giving. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj, he wanted a demanding son. So Krishna is demanding and he is happy to supply the needs of Krishna. So here Prabhupada also goes on to say that by Krishna consciousness, by the methodology of spirituality, many great souls, many people got mercy of Dattatreya. And one of them, one mention is of Haya. He said Haya is a good example who achieved all perfection in devotion, as Prabhupada writes. But because of his offense at the feet of a devotee, he was killed by Lord Parashuram. So you see here, amazingly, this story is very quite a mysterious story in the Bhagavatam. Who is Haya? Who is Yadu? They all get mercy of Dattatreya. Where is Dattatreya? So this kind of all understanding, if you go through pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes in 11th canto, 3rd canto, 1st canto, all these places you will find some mentions of Dattatreya coming in picture. But we need to know, Lord Dattatreya, he appears in many forms. One very famous form which you always see in this material world are temples where Lord is standing with three heads, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. But there are also temples in this world where Lord is standing with just one head, as Narayan. So these are different forms in which he appears. He appears as an avadhut, completely naked. Sometimes he appears in the form of a sage. We need to know that Satchai Dattatreya is always, just like Parashuram is always there, he is still there in this material world, in this earth planet. Dattatreya also is similarly always there. And many great seekers, they always go to find Sage Dattatreya. We have the example of Rahuguna Maharaj, right? Rahuguna Maharaj was on his palanquin going from Sindh Desh towards Ganga Sagar. The reason was he wanted enlightenment. He was looking for knowledge. And he thought, I should take it from some place. Which place? The best place is Ganga Sagar because Kapila Muni is there. So I'll go to him and take that knowledge. But he was also thinking, maybe on the way while going through forest, maybe I'll meet Lord Dattatreya because he's a wandering mendicant and he'll give you knowledge. So when he met Jadabharat, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, he thought that maybe this is Avadhut Brahmana, this is maybe Dattatreya, but later he realized Jadabharat. So Dattatreya is always roaming, moving around, and many places he gives darshan to many people. So we need to know that how this story of Yadus, Yadu, King Yadu meeting Dattatreya, and then Hai Haya, that means Kartivir Arjun meeting Dattatreya, is also important to know. In this case of Yadu, we know that how Yati Maharaj had many wives. In the story, we see that how he lost his young youth, and then he went to his sons to get his to exchange their youth with his old age. So there were three sons. One, the first one is Yadu, and the last one is Puru. So Yadu said, "Well, I will not exchange your old age because I am young. I need to enjoy life." So in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned Yadu knew very well that in future, in my dynasty, Lord Krishna will appear. So therefore, he did not exchange his youth, even though his father was asking for it. So father became very unhappy and he cursed Yadu that in your dynasty, you will never be able to enjoy any kingdom. You will never be having his own kingdom. You will always rely upon or depend on other people. And then the end, Puru, who is the last son of Yayati, he accepts the whole thing. So immediately after Yayati, the next king becomes Puru. Puru gets the kingship, even the eldest son is Yadu. So Yadu, he is was already a self-realized person. He knew that in my dynasty, Shri Krishna is going to come. So one time Yadu was moving around on a pilgrimage, and during his pilgrimage he saw a Avadhut Brahman. Now this instance of Yadu meeting Avadhut Brahman is quoted by Lord Krishna to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita in 11th canto. When Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that when Uddhava understands Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna is going to disappear from this world, so he approaches Lord Krishna in very much despair and tells him that what should be done. And Lord Krishna tells him that you don't stay here in Dwarka anymore. You move away, you go to the north and you take sannyas. So Uddhava said, I don't know what is sannyas. So then Lord Krishna starts preaching about how one has to be detached, renounce. And starting of that whole series of Uddhava Gita begins with Yadu Maharaj meeting Avadhut Brahman. And then Avadhut Brahman mentions about 24 gurus. So you find here very beautifully that whole understanding is here how, and then in the Prabhupada, many times Prabhupada and also our acharyas comment, this Avadhut Brahman was none other than Lord Dattatreya. So that is our connection of Yadus. And Dattatreya told Yadu Maharaj that in your kingdom, you will get lot of mercy, I will always protecting your kinsmen. So Yadu dynasty, as it grow further, Yadu is part of Chandra Vamsha. In Chandra Vamsha, in the same dynasty, a great king Kritavirya was born, and his wife was Shiladhara, and both of them did not have children for a long time. So then they approach Atri Muni's ashram. In Atri Muni's ashram, they approached, they found Anusuya Mata there. And they asked that we want a son for the next king, please help us. And Anusuya Mata said, I have my son Dattatreya who is very merciful. So you both do tapas penance in forest and appease him and he will give mercy to you. So both Kritavirya and Shiladhara, they perform penance to Dattatreya, and immediately after some time Lord Dattatreya appears in front of both king and the queen, and they ask benedictions from Lord Dattatreya that we want a son who will not be defeated by any human being, by any snakes, by any demons, by any hobgoblins, nor even demigods. And Dattatreya says, so be it, you will have a very powerful son who will not be killed by any one of them. He will be very nice, he will be always doing good things. And ultimately he will get killed by a very powerful law man who will be Lord himself. So then in this sense, to them, then Kritavirya gets son of as Kartavirya Arjun. And he had 1,000 arms. And it is said that Gargarishi, he told Kartavirya Arjun that he should, since you are king, you are going to become king now soon, you should do penance. And your father did penance to Dattatreya Rishi, so you also do penance to Dattatreya Rishi. So Kartavirya Arjun went to the forest and performed tapasya and pleased Dattatreya Rishi. And Dattatreya Rishi gave him boons that you will have increase, your knowledge will increase, your power will increase, your wealth will increase, your piety will increase, and ultimately your destination in the end will be also great. You will be killed by a powerful person. And said, finally he told him, I'll give you a flying chariot by which you can conquer all directions. So Kartavirya Arjuna had a good lineage, but because the power came into picture, then what happened? The power went into his head. And as a result, he went around defeating everyone. And finally he thought that I have defeated everyone on the earth, but now I have to compete with demigods. So Kartavirya Arjuna went to Varun Loka and he challenged Varuna, I want to fight with you. This is similar to another pastime, you know, that Varuna said, I am an old man, why are you fighting with me, you know. Just like Hiranyaksha went and fought with Varuna and said, if you really want to fight, go to the son of Jamadagni. You fight with him, that is great match. So then in this case, in that sense, Kartavirya Arjuna comes to meet, who is this Jamadagni, who is his son? And comes a big army and ends up taking favor from Jamadagni by eating food, which came from Kamadhenu cow, and then the whole story cut it short. Then finally Jamadagni was killed, and then Parshuram becomes unhappy and he starts killed Kartavirya Arjuna and annihilated the whole Kshatriya dynasty 21 times. So the whole connection here is Dattatreya's connection with the whole pastime. How we find here that how Dattatreya gave benedictions to Yadu king, gave benediction to Kritavirya, gave benediction to Kartavirya Arjuna also. So this is something about what I could learn, brought some information from about Srila Prabhupada saying that Hai Haya, that is Kartavirya Arjuna, he was benedicted by Lord Dattatreya, but ended up because he offended devotees, so Lord Parashuram came and killed him. So we'll end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।